Nan, thank you so much. So today I'm going to be speaking about one thing that is very familiar with our church, which is being childlike. And another thing is something that I believe that God gave me, and which is a bold call of God over us. So we know that we are children of God, but sometimes we forget that, and sometimes we tend to worry. So when I think of myself when I was 4 or 5, maybe I wasn't worried at all. I wasn't worried what I'm going to eat. I was not worried what I'm going to be wearing or how my day is going to look like. It was obvious to me that I'll be taken care of. And all I really wanted is to have fun and just to play. But I also wanted to be free and independent, so I wanted to be an adult. And I remember my parents used to tell me, don't rush to be an adult, just enjoy this time because it will go so quickly and it's not as fun when you are an adult as you think it is. But to me, being an adult was to be free and independent. And actually, like when we sang today the song of freedom by Tamsin, Holy Spirit talked to me about this, and he said, freedom doesn't mean independence necessarily. Freedom doesn't mean independence from God. The true freedom is dependence, actually. The true freedom is when we depend on him, and this is when we feel free to be ourselves at most. But it actually started in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve, I don't believe that they were mean and they wanted to ruin their relationship with God. I think that all they wanted is to be independent and decide for themselves. And they thought that they have a better understanding what is best for them. It was same with Abraham and Ishmael. It was same for Moses, who hit the rock twice instead of once, and choosing what God said to him, and he couldn't enter the promised land later. It was same for David, who sinned with Bathsheba and who killed her husband. It was same with Solomon, who decided to follow other gods, although he knew the real God. It was same with Jonah, who was escaping God, and actually he went the opposite direction from God. And each chapter, each story, the same story of us wanting to be independent, of us wanting to decide for ourselves. And even if we want to work for God, we sometimes forget that this is him working through us, and we just want to do something for him. And we strive, and we try to be this controlling adult who knows what is the best and who knows what God wants, and just produce fruit for God without him. So I've asked Suzanne to read from chapter 15 about the vine and the branches.
Okay. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Thank you, Suzanne. So, is it God's will that we produce fruit? Obviously it is, because it is for his glory. And why sometimes we don't bring fruit? Sometimes we do bring fruit, but sometimes we don't. And this is because we don't remain. We don't remain in him, or we don't remain in his word. And to remain in Greek means to continue, to abide, to stay, to wait. So at the moment we live in challenging times. And I've been thinking of a verse from Isaiah 8:12 that says, do not call conspiracy everything that people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. And media, independent media, social media, they all bombarding us with opinions, facts, lies. We sometimes cannot tell what is true or not. We are being manipulated oftentimes. And there's so much going on at the moment in the world. And even when we think about COVID-19, what has happened to George Floyd and all the isolation and division and all the things that are going on with Trump and him being endangered by the riots and even for people who, like, social media is just bombarding us with who is for Trump, who is against him, does he read the Bible or he doesn't, is he Christian, is he not, and what about the tension that is between us, between white and black, between white and white, and between black and black about the whole issue at the moment. And we live in a country, a free country, that everyone wants to be heard and everyone has a saying. But what the Lord is saying to us now. So further in Isaiah verse 17 says, I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. I feel like sometimes it's so good. Obviously, it's good not to be ignorant and know what is going on in the world, but at the same time, just come down before the Lord and wait for him to minister to us and to show us which direction we should go, which debate. Are we supposed to say something? Are we supposed to be compassionate about an issue? Or he wants to just focus for us on something else? So the reality of the world kicks in with distress, with the unknown, with fear. And even recently, my friend said to me, I feel like I'm living in a bad movie. But this is how we feel when we look around on the circumstances. But also, 2 Timothy says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in a civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. When we tend to worry, when we tend to think of what is going on, we sometimes lose the focus on what is most important, and it's God who wants to minister to us in order to use us. What is the Father doing? What does he want us to focus on? What does he want us to pray for? What does he want us to do? So another thing is the bold call. I really, really feel like our thoughts matter. And this is where the battle is taking place. So as much as we want to know what is the Lord saying to us, it's essential for us to identify what is the enemy saying to us. Is it a critical thought that we can have towards one another, as we know that he wants to divide us? Is a sister or brother annoying us or hurting us? Or is he saying anything that we are not good enough and he is attacking our identity? He sometimes manages to make us focus so much on our own opinions, our own rights, our own independency from God, from his heart. So what if God, for example, say to us, go take your Bible, go to Oxford, stand on the market square and preach, or go to this person on the wheelchair and heal them, or go to preach to the thousands. I think our first thought would be, is it God? No, it must be me. Am I supposed to organize a huge conference? Am I supposed to speak to thousands? So what in our head appears is, who do you think you are? With your past? With your sin? with your disability, with your age, with your appearance, with your skin color, with your height, with your background, with your squeaky voice. Whatever this is for us, to remain in God's word and to remain in Him is to say back, who am I? I am a child of God, and I will fulfill my destiny. I will do the impossible because it's not my own strength, it's not my own appearance, it's not my wisdom that I rely on. I'm just a branch, I'm just a child, and I'm listening. What is the Father telling me to do? And I feel like He's calling us to surrender again in our hearts to the call of God towards our destiny and think the thoughts that God has for us. And maybe it's me, but I believe it's other people as well who just sometimes want to hide and be invisible and be secure in our comfort zone. And so did one Jonah for himself. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew that God is a merciful God. And if he goes to Nineveh and they start to repent, God will be merciful to them and He will save them. And he's going to make a fool of himself. And he just wanted good for himself. He decided for himself, yeah, let's find God, but I'm going actually opposite direction. But what God says to us, you are the light of the world. You are the city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. So I feel like God is saying to us that He doesn't want us to think independently from what the Father thinks. And He wants us to do what He is doing. And we have those discouraging voices that are very, very silent, but they are very, very convincing. Because we often don't identify them as the voice of the enemy, but we tend to think it's our own voice and our mindset. And we tend to think these are our own decisions. We don't think, oh, I'm just being deceived by the enemy not to fulfill God's word. So I believe that God is going to be challenging us. I was thinking, what would I do if God told me, Eva, tomorrow you are getting up 4 a.m. in the morning and you go for a run, you go jogging. I'll be probably excited, but the next day I'll be like, oh, was this a joke? When my alarm would set off, I'll be like, is this a joke? It's a crazy idea. It's cold out there. It's dark out there. I'm so cozy in my bed. I'm not going to do it. It was a stupid idea. And who knows, maybe I am missing a great opportunity because there will be somebody on my way that God wanted me to encounter, or just He wanted me to show Him obedience. And God really likes us being vulnerable, and He really likes us when we put ourselves in this position of vulnerability and not being able to help self. So I have two stories to share with you. First one was, maybe this was like 20 years back. I lived in Poland, and my friend wanted to visit his wife, who lived at the time in Berlin, and she was studying there. So we decided we go together. He drove the car, and everything was all right. But when we entered Berlin, we got totally lost, and there was no GPS. If they were invented, we didn't have them. We had the map, and I was supposed to tell the direction, but I must say I wasn't very good. I'm still not good with the maps, but then back then I was hopeless. I just didn't even know how to hold it. Like, how do you read map? So we got lost, and he stopped somewhere in a car wash, like an automatic car wash, and he says, okay, go and find out where we are, and this is our address, and just ask somebody. And I didn't know German at all, but I got off of the car with this map folded. And I probably was looking like a loser, or I don't know, but there was nobody to ask for. There was no one, like no living soul. Finally, I found a woman who was elderly, and I tried to have a conversation, but ich nicht verstehen. Didn't go anywhere. And suddenly, this beautiful French silver Peugeot, like a new model, approaches me. and they opened the door, and there's a guy coming out who is a man, a black man in a gray suit, very handsome looking, like very, very attractive person, very tidy, looking very professional. He gets out the car, he approaches me, and he says, in his English, he says to me, "Can I help you?" And I was like, yes, please, totally shocked. He took my map. He says to me, "This is where you are. This is where you need to go. You go this road." Very, very easy. He really quickly explained to me. And then he just went off. And I didn't know, like, I was trying to talk to my friend, and I just wanted to thank this guy, but we couldn't find him. It was like he totally disappeared. And then maybe it was like 10 years later, when I was reading a book of Hebrew, where it says that the angelic visitations are gonna be so common to us that we're gonna host angels not knowing about this. So I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, if this is the true, and if the angelic visitations are common, did I meet an angel in my lifetime? And this situation just popped up in front of my eyes. And when I understood this was an angel, I was just like, because like we have so many situations in our life we don't even realize. And second story that I wanted to share, it's an amazing story of a woman that I know of. I know her in Poland. She's a friend of mine. And she's this amazing, single, godly lady. God told her to move to the south of Poland. And although she is disabled, she did that because of faith. And God led her so beautifully because like he equipped her place with beautiful furniture. She got everything super cheap. And like she has this amazing love story with the Lord. And you know the stereotype about Poland, that Poland is super cold in winter. So for the south of Poland, it is true. Like it is super cold. It can be minus 30 degrees, like Celsius degrees, or even more. And her disability is that her furniture, like her chairs needs to be high up because she must be able to stand up. So when she sits, she finds herself very, very not easy to pick herself up. And her muscles work like she needs to stand up in a certain way for the body parts to kind of, I don't know, click. So she was very much afraid that if she's going to go for groceries in the winter, she's going to slip on the ice and she's going to fall and not be able to pick herself up. And it was a great fear of hers. So she was just really praying for God to release her from this fear. And God did that for her. She went for groceries and she fell on the ground. And she knew that people would think that she's drunk because she's trying and striving to pick herself up, but she can't. And she felt like totally humiliated, like on this snow, in the snow, trying to stand up. And suddenly a lady comes to her. And this lady says to her, "Oh, don't worry, we're going to help you. I'm going to call this man." And she just asked the stranger, "Can you please help me to pick up? Because me and my friend, we fall down." The way she explained this to this guy, my friend didn't feel any humiliation. So she did it in such a grace. And this guy picks up her up, like in a certain way that she needs to be picked up. Like she's able to stand. And this lady took her arm and she says, "I'm gonna walk you home." And they were just chatting and they were laughing and they had a really good time. She felt like they really, I don't know, connected, like they were friends for ages. And when she walked her, she just said, "Okay, I'm gonna leave you now, you know, all the best." She goes away. And there was a neighbor of this friend of mine that was standing outside the door. And she had this chit chat with this neighbor. And this neighbor, and she says to the neighbor, "Oh, I just had this situation that I fell down. And this lady, you know, she really helped me. She picked me. She helped me to be picked up and she walked me home. And yeah, such a situation." And this neighbor says, "What do you mean she brought you home? What do you mean she walked with you? You walked on your own. I saw you. You were on your own." So obviously, when she told me this story, I was just, because it's not a testimony that you read from internet or whatever. It was so personal to me when she was sharing that, because I know this lady, that it just made me like really, really touched by it. So today, when I think of my life, I wish not to be such an adult anymore. I know that we all carry the responsibilities, sometimes for other people as well. But sometimes we really need to relax and start partnering with God and be this naive child of God that just wants to hear God and trust Him that whatever situation we're going to be put in is just going to show up. And also what we need to do is not to question our identity, because the enemy is really for it, because he doesn't want us to fulfill our destinies. So at the end, I've asked Akin to read us some declarations from the Bible. What is God saying to us and our identity?
Can I go ahead?
Yes, please.
Okay. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. He also says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And this is our response to him. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. We also confess and say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And he says to us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. I'll read that again. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So what shall we say to these things then? All these things that Eva described earlier on, the things that are going on right now in the world. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he says to us concerning life in general, concerning our calling, concerning everything about us and all the challenges that we face. He says to us, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'll read it again. It's a command. And he said this to Joshua when they were about to cross into the promised land. If you remember previously, they had come to that point, sent out spies, saw giants, and decided, can't do it. Now they're back, and God is commanding them with this. So regardless of the giants that we face, regardless of the circumstances that we face, this is what he's saying to us. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. As Graham said earlier on, we're going to be going into a period of harvest by God's grace. And he's saying to us, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal to the world through us. He also says about us, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's what we're going to be doing during the harvest. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Achim. That was great.
Thank you.
So at the end, I was thinking that we might have like a minute or two of silence and just ask the Holy Spirit what he has spoken to us into our calling, and we have buried it, or maybe we tried to hide from him, and let him just speak to us at the end, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are such a merciful God, and you always love us. You always want the best for us. Your plans for us are good. From Jeremiah 29:11, you are to bless us. You are to guide us. You are our daddy God who is strong for us. We just bring your weaknesses to you, and we want to depend on you in those. Amen.
Amen.